continue to look at the subject of pride and humility. We'll get into the book of Proverbs, what Solomon has to say upon the subject. But before we do, again, we saw last week really the best summary of pride is simply the mindset of self, the focus upon self. It's something that no one is innocent of. It's something that we have to struggle with almost every second of every day, something we have to be continually aware of. So if pride is the mindset of self, then humility being its opposite would be the emptying of self. And of course, Christ puts much emphasis upon the subject of emptying ourselves. He says we cannot be his disciple unless we empty ourselves. So throughout the Bible, pride is presented as the greatest hindrance to serving the Lord. Again, in every sin, you'll find the sin of pride. And then, of course, within pride is innumerable sins. And if pride is the greatest hindrance, then humility is the key. There's the key. There's the key to doing what God would have us to do. Before we can do all the things that whatever comes to your mind, before you can really do that in a way that is glorifying to God, you have to empty yourself of yourself. That's humility. You have to humble. You have to humble yourself. Before we get into the Proverbs, I want to show you that pride is never, and I mean never, is never justified. Never. I don't believe you should tell somebody we ought to be proud of that. It's never justified. They can be thankful, and certainly we ought to be thankful. And true thankfulness requires humility. But pride is can never be justified. A good example, in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist, we've preached from this many times, in verse 11, he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he, referring to Jesus, that come after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, which was something left for the lowest of servants. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Mark also records these words in Mark chapter 1 and verse 7. Luke also in Luke 3 and verse 16. But when you think about John the Baptist saying, I am not worthy to unloose the latchets of your shoes, I am not worthy to carry your shoes, I am not worthy of doing that which is left for the lowest of servants. That was John the Baptist. John the Baptist, that tells us that birth, the circumstances of birth, cannot make us worthy. You remember, prior to his birth, It was told John's father, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. But he wasn't worthy. Great in the sight of the Lord, but not worthy. Filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Yet John realized that he was not worthy. One's ministry, one's service cannot make one worthy. John chapter 1 tells us that John was a man sent from God. Sent from God. Yet unworthy. Yet unworthy. So our position of service, our calling, does not make us worthy of anything from God. Does not make us worthy to be allowed to serve the Lord. So there's no room for pride. Being greatly used of God cannot make one worthy. John the Baptist had great eloquence. Preached and many, many, many people were saved, converted, repented. That didn't make them worthy either. Again, an individual can be greatly used of God. That doesn't make you worthy. And you may know that God is using your life. That doesn't make you worthy of one single blessing. Doesn't make you worthy to do anything for the Lord. The truth is, if it can be done for God, we're not worthy to do it. That's just the simple truth. It's too good for us to do. Possessing or position cannot make one worthy. Jesus said, among them that are born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. None greater than John the Baptist. He wasn't worthy. He wasn't worthy. High opinions of others cannot make one worthy. You realize how many people mistook John the Baptist for Jesus Christ? And that John the Baptist had the opportunity to be a leader of a powerful sect. All the people who thought he was Christ, they had very high opinion of John the Baptist. Yet none of that made him worthy. John said in John 3 and verse 30, I believe speaking directly of the ministry, of his ministry and Christ's ministry, but there's it's also true spiritually. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's true every day. That is true every single day of our lives. We must decrease. We must go more and more into the background, and Jesus Christ must come more and more to the forefront. That's humility. No one's worthy. No one has a right. No one has a reason to be proud. There's nothing you do that makes you worthy of serving the Lord. None of us are worthy to walk in the doors of one of the Lord's churches. We're not worthy. We're not worthy to do anything. We're not worthy to be a greeter in the Lord's church. We're not worthy to clean the bath. We're not worthy of anything. It's all too good for us to do. And we need to always remember that. We also, if we turn over to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. I believe we see the seriousness of the mindset of self. In verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. That in itself, of course, is a very serious matter. But really what's more important here is not so much that Peter took Christ aside to rebuke him, but what is the mindset behind that? What is the mindset behind that? And I believe that's what Jesus addresses. Peter, rebuking the Lord, says, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." Lord, you're too good for this. This was a suggestion from the mindset of self. Peter is thinking simply from the mindset of self, and then, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan." You see, the mindset of self, it's a serious matter because it puts you side by side with Satan. It puts you on the devil's side. That's very serious. And he goes on and he says, "Thou art an offense unto me." The mindset of self will align us with Satan. And that's why Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny self. And the mindset of self is an offense. And I don't believe any of us even come close to realizing how offensive pride is to the Lord. How horrible. How outrageous. How unreasonable. The mindset of self is. And he goes on, he says, "For thou savorest not the things that be of God." Here's the mindset behind Peter's rebuking. "But those that be of men." Peter, you're thinking like a man. Peter, you're using human reason. And using human reason has aligned you with Satan. And has made you an offense unto me. Now, it's a serious thing if Christ calls you Satan. That's pretty serious. And that's what he did with Peter. But then notice, Jesus, this was all done in the hearing of the disciples. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples," he's now going to teach them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." This is the lesson here. Peter did not deny himself. This whole philosophy that Peter had was a result of the mindset of self. So the Lord makes application and he says, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Take up his cross. The cross represents that which is humiliating. We deny ourselves and take up the cross. You're not going to take up the cross unless you deny yourself. You have to empty yourself of yourself and follow me. And then notice verse 25. He's still on the same subject, and that the main point being, let him deny himself. For whosoever will save his life, is that not what Peter was suggesting to the Lord? He was suggesting that the Lord save his life. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life, which is the same as denying ourselves for my sake, and we are to empty ourselves for his sake,
for his honor, for his glory, the individual that does this shall find his life. And then he goes on and says, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? That's the mindset of self. Worldly gain is the mindset of self, and lose his own soul. Not giving attention to the soul is the mindset of self. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Pride, none of us realize. We may be made aware from time to time how horrible it is, but and how prevalent it is in our lives. But none of us really realize what a hindrance it is, what a thief it is. We have to deny self. So let's look at what Solomon has to say. And Solomon, of course, is a man who fell victim to pride. And we all do. We all do. Again, I would argue, many wouldn't agree, but I have serious doubts that we do anything without some degree of self in it, without some degree of pride in it. It's a very serious problem. Now, in Proverbs 11, verse 2, he says, when, notice he doesn't say if, when pride cometh, it comes. It rears up its ugly head in all of our lives. When pride comes, when that mindset of self comes upon us, then cometh shame. But with the lowly, it's the humble, the humility of spirit, is wisdom. So pride, of course, is the native principle of fallen men. And being the native principle, it will appear. It will appear. Somebody gives us a compliment. I promise you right then, at that very second, what you ought to do is pray, Lord, deliver me from pride right now. Because as soon as they give you a compliment, you like that. And pride begins to form. I'm not saying we shouldn't give compliments. I'm saying if you receive a compliment, you ought to be aware enough of pride to pray right then and there, Lord, humble me right now. Lord, humble me right now. Because you let that thing go. And pretty soon you'll be searching for compliments. You'll be feeding upon them. And you're feeding a monster. The monster of pride. So when pride cometh, again, it will come. And in whatever shape it comes, whatever form it comes, whatever guise it comes, that's not what's important. As we've already seen, pride has many shapes, many forms. But when it comes, it always brings with it shame. You may not feel the shame right then. You may not recognize it right then. But wherever there's pride, there's shame. That is, there's disgrace. There's disgrace. There's dishonor. Wherever there's pride, God has been dishonored. Wherever there's pride, there's shame. There's degradation. So, wherever there is pride, there is going to be
disgracing and dishonoring behavior toward God. Whenever we get filled with ourself, whenever self becomes the governing principle of our life, we're going to behave in a dishonoring way to God. That's what self does. On the other hand, with the lowly, those who have the spirit of humility, there's wisdom. Why is it that the humble are able to obtain the wisdom of God? Because, one, they are in their proper place before God, which is at his feet. That is where wisdom is found. Heavenly wisdom is not found being out of your place. Heavenly wisdom is found being in your place at the feet of God as the creature, not the creator. And also, because when we're in our place before God, then we are allowed, or then we are able to commune with God. And in communion with God, we find what? We find wisdom. So if we want wisdom, the best thing to do is humble yourself. The best thing to do is empty yourself. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. First of all, you have to realize that you lack wisdom. That's humility. Then you have to be humble enough to take your place before God, because you truly don't ask God anything unless you take your proper place before him. So you realize you need wisdom. You take your proper place before God. You begin to commune with God and you find wisdom. But when God gives you wisdom, immediately you need to begin to pray that you won't be proud about it. Because if God gives us anything, pride will rise up, and pride will begin to think highly. People begin to think highly of their wisdom, and soon their wisdom becomes foolishness. So when pride cometh, not if, but when it comes, there is shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. I believe if we were to ask everyone here tonight, would you like to have heavenly wisdom? Everyone would say, sure, that would be great. But you have to empty yourself. You have to empty yourself. That's where it's found. Notice in Proverbs 13, verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Notice three words. By pride cometh. In other words, we've already seen that when pride cometh, there's shame. Whenever there's pride, there's something else with it. Something not good. And here we see, only by pride cometh contention. Now, I believe that contention, of course, can come by other things, but pride is the chief source. And really, there are no contentions without it. Where there is pride, where there is the mindset of self, there is contention. The church of Corinth had a problem with contentions. They had a problem with strifes. They had a problem with divisions. Really, those things were the result of another problem. And that other problem was pride. That other problem was the mindset of self. And the truth is, a lot of their contentions, a lot of their strifes, and a lot of their divisions could have been avoided and done away with if they would deal with pride, if they would empty themselves. So the failure to empty ourselves brings contention. Again, there's a big difference tonight, and I'm afraid a lot of people don't realize. I'm not saying a lot of people here, but a lot of people don't realize. There's a big difference between biblical convictions and your opinion. Big difference. And people are more willing to stand for their opinion than what the book says. And why is it that we are so strong in our opinion? It's pride. It's pride. And a lot of times, if some people would just let go of their opinion or keep it to themselves, a lot of contention would be avoided. Now, the contrast here is with the well-advised is wisdom, implying that a person of humility is willing to learn. They're willing to be advised. There are a lot of people that aren't willing to be advised. I mean, there are people you cannot be a pastor to. Plain and simple. You can't be a pastor to them because they refuse advice. You can't be a pastor to them. You can't really be of help to them. And they may not literally tell you, "I do not want your advice," but they get offended every time they're advised. Well, they can't take advice. Why is that? It's pride. It's pride. But with the well-advised, a person who is willing to learn, a person that is willing to receive advice and instruction, that person will consult with God, and consulting with God, that person will find wisdom. And by that wisdom, he or she, whatever the case might be, will be able to avoid some contentions. So do not allow the mindset of self to get in the way of the counsel of God. And we do that. We do that. I've seen people do it many times when the Word of God is preached. They let the mindset of self get in the way of what God says. That's pride. That's pride. And in order to get rid of the problem, you have to deal with the pride. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 25. Again, as we stress many, many times, most of us do not like dealing with the root problem. Most of us do not want to even go there. But really, if anything is going to be solved, if anything is going to be fixed, you have to find the root of the problem. And the scriptures are really pretty clear about the root of the problem. And one of those roots, of course, is pride. Proverbs 15, verse 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The Lord will demolish, the Lord will spoil, the Lord will ruin, wreck, and devastate the house of the proud. In other words, again, pride is destructive. The mindset of self is destructive. You know how many family problems would be avoided if it wasn't for the mindset of self? You know how many personal problems would be avoided if it wasn't for the mindset of self? How many church problems would be avoided if it wasn't for the mindset of self? The mindset of self is destructive. And again, it puts us on the side of Satan. Notice Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul, of course, was a great man of God, greatly used of God, greatly gifted. But Paul realized that he had the same problem that we all have, pride. And in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." God showed Paul many, many, many things, opened his mind to many truths. And Paul said, "Lest I be exalted above measure, lest I become proud in what God has shown me." And there's a danger there. The truth is, God can show us something, and really when God shows us something, it ought to humble us. We ought to fall down with thanksgiving, but if we're not careful, we'll get proud about it. So he goes on, he says, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Why was the thorn in the flesh given to him? Lest he be exalted above measure. You see, what's important here is people write pages and pages and pages on what they think the thorn in the flesh was. That's really not what's important here. What is important here is why it was given. Lest I should be exalted above measure. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. So this thorn involved Satan. This thorn involved satanic attack. And again, he repeats, the reason for this is lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul realized in his own life the problem of pride. I've had a few, not many, but a few argue, "I am not proud." How can you even go there? There isn't anyone who can say that. We all are, and we all deal with it. We all must deal with it every single day. Proverbs 15, verse 33. "The fear of the Lord," which is reverence, which is the fruit of and part of humility, "is the instruction of wisdom." So in reverencing God, what gets in the way of you and I reverencing God? Self. High thoughts of self. Self-will. These are things that get in the way of reverencing God. And it's when we reverence God, we find instruction. We find the instruction of wisdom in the reverence of God. But before you can reverence God, you can determine right now, from this day forward, I'm going to reverence God. But unless you empty yourself of yourself, you can't. That's what we need to determine. I'm going to empty myself of myself so that I can reverence God. And when I reverence God, I'm taking my proper place before God. And in that proper place before God, I find the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. God sets forth a definite order. Before honor is humility. He repeats that order in Job 22, verse 29. Jesus teaches upon it in Luke chapter 9, verses 46 through verse 48. There is an order. There is humility, and then there is honor. But when God gives you honor, remember this, you're not worthy. Humble yourselves. Continue to empty yourselves. And in that is honor, or the blessings of God. Proverbs 16, verse 5. "For everyone that is proud in heart," that's inward. Inward pride. Again, it's everyone. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter how gifted they are. Doesn't matter how greatly used of God they are. "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." And in Proverbs 6, verse 17, we see that a proud look is also abomination to the Lord. Both the inward and the outward manifestation of pride is an abomination
to God. In Proverbs chapter 18,
verse 12,
before destruction, the heart of man is haughty.
Again, pride is destructive.
And before honor is humility.
Same truth was stated again in Proverbs 15:33, again in Proverbs 16:18.
Three times we're told here that there is an order. There is an order. Humility, honor. Pride, destruction, or shame. Then notice in Proverbs 21, verse 4.
A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Now, a high look would be an outward manifestation of pride. A high look, I believe, has reference to a feeling and a display of superiority. And a proud heart, that of course is inward. So a high look is something we can see. A proud heart is something that God sees. But the last part of that proverb says, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. What that means is everything that a lost man does, there's sin in it. Everything he does. If he just goes out and plows his field, there's sin in it. Everything he does, there's sin in it. And what he's saying here is the individual who has a high look and a proud heart, everything they do, there's sin. Everything. When we get caught up in the mindset of self, everything we do is sinful. That should greatly concern us to take all precaution against pride. Because wherever there is pride, there is sin. Sin is going to be destructive.
You better think long and hard, and you better think twice before you sit down and teach your children to be proud. That's something you do not need to teach them. They were born proud. They were born proud. That baby that arches its back throwing a fit, that's pride. That's rebellion. There's pride. And it's destructive. It's a thing. It's something that we have to learn to deal with, to keep out of our lives. In Proverbs 25, verse 6 and 7, he says, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, then thou should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. There are several lessons here. The one, of course, is it would be wise for us to behave ourselves in a lowly and reverent way toward superiors. But the main lesson here, and again, Jesus emphasized it in Luke chapter 14, verses 8 through 11, the lesson is deny yourself and do not set your heart upon preferment. Notice in Luke chapter 14. We'll keep a mark there in Proverbs, but in Luke chapter 14, and verse 8. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room. Don't seek the best seat. Isn't that what we all do? People do it everywhere but one place, and that's church.
Don't seek the best seat. Why do you deserve the best seat? Lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. Verse 10, go and sit down in the lowest room. Verse 11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Again, I believe the chief lesson here is that we, again, Philippians chapter 2, we saw last week, we're to prefer one another. We're not to seek preferment. But yet people do it all the time. You see any kind of event, people are pushing and shoving because they deserve the best view. And they really believe that. That's pride. And the Lord says, don't seek that place of preferment. So you see, just things that we look upon as innocent, everybody running to get the best seat. That's just an example of pride. It's an example of our proud, sinful nature. Proverbs chapter 28. Verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Again, the one who trusts in his heart, according to Hosea 10 and verse 13, is a proud individual. Self-trust, self-reliance is pride. It's the mindset of self. And then lastly, in Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Which again stresses everything that Solomon has stressed throughout Proverbs. The danger of pride. The blessing of humility. None of us are born with a humble nature. We're born to look out for self first. That's the nature that we are born with. We are taught in various ways all through our upbringing to be proud. And it is to such an extent, we live in probably the proudest nation on the face of the earth. I don't know that for sure, but there's no problem, no doubt that our culture is one that feeds upon pride. Pride is everywhere. And it's to such an extent that we don't even recognize it. We don't recognize it in ourselves unless it's to a great degree. We don't recognize it. But it's everywhere. It's in everything that we do. It's in our thinking. It's in our reasoning. It's everywhere. What's in it for me? Will this give me more? Will this make me happier? The whole pursuit of happiness is a result of a mindset of self. We need to realize that happiness is not something we pursue. Happiness is the result of. It's a result of doing and being what God has called you to do and be. You do that, you'll be happy. There's happiness in that. Happiness is a result. If you want happiness, pursue that which results in happiness. And the first thing you have to do is you have to empty yourself. We have to empty ourselves of ourselves, and we have to do that every day. We have to do it several times a day. We have to do it when people are talking to us. We have to do it all the time. We need to be emptying ourselves of ourselves. It is a constant battle. It will not work for you to just get up in the morning and empty yourself because 5 minutes later you're going to be filled with yourself. You have to. It's a continual
ongoing struggle that never, never ends. Never. And it's a problem that we all have. There isn't anyone exempt. Some, of course, display pride more than others, but there isn't anyone exempt from pride. So that we'd realize the danger, realize the wisdom of humility. Brother Jim, if you'd come.